Our first scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Francis. Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. Well, I am super excited to join the youth mission trip to New Orleans this week because I love youth mission trips. And it's actually not my first trip to New Orleans. I went in the spring of 2006 when I was just a wee seminarian. And like you, I wanted to help after Katrina. So I went 6 months after Katrina, and I know some folks from this church also helped with the disaster relief. I went with my church at the time, Shadyside Presbyterian in Pittsburgh, and I went armed and ready to help people, right? So I went with a new pair of steel-toed work boots. I went with my absolute favorite book bag chair. It's a book bag and it's a chair, and it goes with me on all retreats and mission trips. I went with a willing spirit, and I went with all of those vocabulary words that seminary students like to use, like eschatological hope and missional community. But most of all, I went to help, to make a difference in the lives of people who were facing disaster, right? And as it turned out, that week was the worst mission trip of my entire life. It was horrible. So our church was the very first church to be stationed in a Presbyterian disaster assistance outpost in Purlington, Mississippi, which is right across the state border from New Orleans. And we lived that week in temporary shelters, two-person huts made out of like plasticized cardboard. There was mud in between all of our little buildings, and they were all built on like a big foundation of sand, which meant by day two, I was covered in bites from like sand fleas or something. I had to sleep with a mosquito net over my cot, which would inevitably come unduct taped around 2 a.m. in the morning and give me nightmares about 1980s bridal veils. I had to use a porta potty. I had to take cold showers. Because I'm a picky eater, I lived on lunch meat sandwiches and king cake because it was Mardi Gras. And to this day, when I see king cake in the grocery store, I have a minor panic attack. It was miserable. It was horrible. Now, some of you like camping, and that's great. But I am not into camping. I am not even into glamping, which is glamorous camping, okay? I like a nice hotel bed and like a good TripAdvisor rating. So this was like the week of misery for me, absolute misery. So the only redeeming thing about my living conditions was the fact that I now have a heart seriously for people who live in a developing nation who live like that every day. I have a heart for refugees who are living like that right now in the world. But because I personally was so miserable, my greatest joy that week was helping, right? I woke up every day knowing that while I hated my life and my living conditions, that I was going to help someone that day, that I was going to serve someone. So that was like, that was my joy. And the work we did that week basically amounted to one thing: shoveling crap. Shoveling crap out of people's houses. And I grew up in a farm family with livestock, and so I'm pretty great at shoveling crap. I've got a gift for it. Maybe I should have gone into politics. Who knows? You had to make the joke. It was just waiting. It was just waiting. So shoveling crap is something I'm pretty good at, and so I was cool with it. And I like manual labor on a mission trip because you can physically see the blessing that you're bestowing on someone. And so basically for the week, I just shoveled for hours a day all of the mud and debris and wet towels and moldy refrigerators and gross toys and everything that the floodwaters had brought into people's houses. I just shoveled away, and I was cool with it. I liked it. And so even though I was miserable, my mantra every day was basically like this: I hate my living conditions. I'm hungry. I'm exhausted. I'm itching all day from these bites. But at least I am giving great hope to somebody who's lost everything in these floodwaters and maybe even lost someone that they love. I might be miserable, but I am deeply blessing. I am making a difference in somebody's life. And that was good. Until I found out that I wasn't making a difference at all. You see, from the very first day we arrived, something was a little off about the PDA camp, the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance Camp. Something wasn't right, and things got weirder and weirder as the week went on, until some wise folks in our church group realized that the PDA staff member, the one staff member, was basically a crook and a liar. And he was the only guy there from PDA. And so basically what he had done is he had created busy work for all of us. It turns out that the mobile home I had been so lovely shoveling for 5 days wasn't going to be saved anyway. They were going to demolish it and turn it in for the insurance money. And so basically this guy created busy work for 20 church people because he didn't know what else to have us do. And that was the most interesting Bible study I had been to that night when we as a church got together and we faced the tough news that really most of the work we had done was worthless. And I cried because I was tired and I was exhausted and I had worked so hard for days and it didn't mean anything. It meant nothing at all. So let me say this as an aside. I'm all for Presbyterian disaster assistance. Some of the money that we give in special offerings goes to them, and I'm cool with that. I would go on a trip with them again. What happened to them could happen to any organization. They hired someone who had really great stories, and it took you a few days to realize that none of the stories he told were true. So I'm cool with that. But I have, for the past decade, had a hard time with this week in my life. Because it's supposed to be amazing, right? It's a mission trip. It's supposed to be so meaningful. And what was supposed to be so meaningful for me turned out to be meaningless. I have been angry for years over the time, energy, and money that great church people spent on that trip. I have been upset about the fact that I can't find Jesus in any of it. Sure, you can say, well, we grew closer as a church group. Well, we did. That was nice. But I don't have any compelling stories to tell you about the people I met in Pearlington. I don't have any great God sightings to share with you. That week in the story of my life has been labeled porta potty experience for the past decade. But this week, I got a word from the Lord. Maybe a word that will help you too. Because I heard in this story Jesus saying to me, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you are distracted and worried by so many things, but you need only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." So yeah, in my pity party for myself over the mission trip misery, I have heard the words of the Lord. Because in this story, as you may have heard this morning, Jesus comes over to Martha's house. And Martha welcomes him in a Martha Stewart type manner, right? With great hospitality. Maybe she served him hors d'oeuvres. And after she served Jesus hors d'oeuvres, by the way, her sister Mary happens to be there, she goes to the kitchen to prepare a multi-course dinner for Jesus. Because you don't think Jesus called ahead, do you? Jesus never calls ahead. My personal experience with Jesus is Jesus shows up unexpectedly in our life. And in our homes, right? She didn't know Jesus was coming. So Martha is slaving away in the kitchen, right? Baking and cooking. And where is Mary? Oh, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, just taking it all in, right? Letting Jesus' words pour over her like honey. Oh, it was so lovely, right? And Mary is doing her thing, and Martha is ticked. Martha comes out, and she says to Jesus what I think is like one of the best lines in the gospel. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the work by myself? Tell her to go help me." That's awesome. And what does Jesus say? "Oh, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted about many things. Mary has chosen the best thing, and that's me," right, Jesus? So, and that will not be taken from her, is what Jesus says. On this Father's Day, the story of Mary and Martha could be called the story of Bill and Pete or the story of like Joe and George, right? But it's a story that many of us know as Christians. And often when we hear it, what do people say to us? They say, "Don't be a Martha, busy, busy, busy. Be a Mary, sit at the feet of Jesus. Just take it all in." You know, that is a great message to be a Mary. That's a great message if you're headed on like a week-long spiritual retreat. Just be a Mary. Soak it all in. But if you like live in the real world and you have maybe a job or grandkids to watch or people who are counting on you to provide them nourishment today, like the Mary thing doesn't preach for me. It just doesn't, right? So maybe the Holy Spirit has a better word for us. Maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, there's a Mary and a Martha inside all of us, right? There's a Mary and a Martha inside all of us. And we have to work really hard to make sure that Martha isn't always running the show. We got to find some balance in our life. And that's hard in America and in our culture, where we are doing, 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 going, going, going all day long. There are bills to pay and lawns to mow, especially at the Crayley household, by the way. And there are people to take care of. And we can get so caught up in doing and being and getting stuff done that we miss when Jesus Christ walks into our house. We just miss it. And Mary didn't miss it, but Martha did. We miss in our busyness when Jesus comes into our house because sometimes we are so busy, especially when our families are in times of joy or crisis. We can miss when Jesus steps into our house with the word of salvation that we really, really need to hear. And so this story has blessed me this week, and I hope it's going to bless you too. Because it's blessed me because it's called me out in my Marthaful mission trip ways, right? In my desire to save people, in my desire to work so hard that I can fix something in someone's life, when really that's Jesus's job and Jesus' job alone. I'm supposed to be serving and not saving. And so our calling this week and our calling this summer and our calling as we minister in our community this week is really to try to find the balance between Mary and Martha in our life so that we don't miss the times when the Savior shows up at our house. And so I'm going to need some help this week from Connor and the mission trip participants. I need your help to make sure, Connor, that the Rev doesn't go into maniac Martha mode, that I don't get so caught up in building wheelchair ramps and painting porches that I fail to notice when Jesus Christ shows up on the mission trip. And I believe that Jesus most often shows up when we're interacting with people as a youth group or the people whose houses we're fixing. So, Connor, help me out. And to the Vacation Bible School people, okay, we're counting on you to not get so caught up in the to-dos that you miss the ta-da, that Jesus just showed up in an awesome interaction between you and a kid, right? And if you are going through this summer, people of God, and you've got that summer checklist like we have of all the things we want to get done this summer, don't get so caught up in the to-dos that you miss the ta-das. The book of Ephesians that Francis read for us is central to our Presbyterian theology. It says, you are saved by faith alone, faith and grace from Jesus, and never by your good works. And we need to hear that in our lives, in our church. And so this morning, Lord, we pray for eyes to see and ears to hear all the places this summer where you are going to step into our house. Amen. Please stand and sing with us our final song.